This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, May 15, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Kent County voters will decide this fall on a funding renewal supporting the John Ball Zoo and Grand Rapids Public Museum. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
The Kent County Board of Commissioners voted to place a 10-year renewal millage for the John Ball Zoo and Grand Rapids Public Museum on the November ballot. After a year of independent financial analysis, public hearings, and committee review, the proposed allocation would grant $124 million to the zoo and nearly $70 million to the museum over 10 years. The renewal would continue the existing tax at approximately 41 cents per $1,000 of taxable value, reflecting rate reductions required by Michigan law. The millage supports the zoo's animal care, exhibits, and critical capital needs, as well as preservation of museum collections, educational programs, and discounted or free museum admission for residents. Together, the John Ball Zoo and Grand Rapids Public Museum attract more than 1 million visitors each year, providing educational, cultural, and recreational opportunities. The renewal proposal will be on the November 3rd general election ballot. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Boys and Girls Club of Grand Rapids celebrated its grand reopening on Friday, unveiling its multi-million dollar Seedman Club renovation. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
We are so happy and so excited to welcome our members back here at Seedman Center June 1st.
Mayula Partee is director of the Seedman Center for the Boys and Girls Club of Grand Rapids. She says the $4.6 million building renovation is overdue.
I don't believe this building has ever been renovated. From my understanding, it was established in 1958, and so maybe small repairs here and there, but never a renovation like this one.
It will now serve over 100 youth per day with after-school and summer programs. Thanks to federal funding and philanthropic efforts from over 25 local organizations and individuals, the Seedman Club now boasts a brand new gymnasium, classrooms, dedicated teen space, kitchen, game room, and offices. Partee says the renovation came at a time when many local families struggle to make ends meet, especially during the summer months.
Daycare is very expensive these days. We are able to provide snack after school and a hot meal for each of our members every day for $5 a year. And so with all of the help from our donors, we are able to keep the cost down for our parents, some who are in need.
You can learn more at bgcgrandrapids.org. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids has been named one of the best cities in the country for starting a career. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Grand Rapids landed at number 16 on Wallet Hub's latest best and worst places to start a career list. A news release says the ranking reflects Grand Rapids' strong job market, solid wages, and a high quality of life for young professionals. Grand Rapids' ranking comes as the region continues to strengthen its workforce. New data from The Right Place shows that the area added 2,000 new jobs in 2025 and is attracting younger workers at a higher rate than the state, the nation, and most peer metro areas. Grand Rapids Mayor David LeGrand says, quote, "Grand Rapids continues to grow because our business community keeps creating opportunities for the next generation," end quote. Wallet Hub analyzed more than 180 U.S. cities using 25 measures, including entry-level job availability, starting salaries, and housing cost. In the report, Wallet Hub analyst Chip Lupo said the top-ranked cities help make the move from school to career smoother for young workers. I'm Jennifer Moss.
County health leaders are warning about an uptick in tick-related diseases in West Michigan. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more on what the numbers indicate.
Ottawa County Health Department data shows Lyme disease cases more than doubled in just 1 year, jumping from 44 cases in 2024 to 91 cases in 2025. That trend mirrors a statewide surge, with cases nearly quadrupling between 2022 and 2025, leading the CDC to designate Michigan as a high-incidence jurisdiction for the first time.
What we're finding is that the tick populations are expanding due to milder winters and also just greater awareness in the area and increased testing by healthcare providers.
Environmental Public Health Supervisor Drew Shaw runs Ottawa County's Tick and Mosquito Monitoring Program and Prevention Education.
Doing the tick tracks after you get back inside is a very important thing. Make sure you check all the areas where you don't think you need to check. Behind the knees, between your legs, armpits, belly buttons, even up into your hair.
Shaw recommends carefully checking pets as well, even those using prevention medication, as ticks don't die but simply fall off and can then attach to people.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Is Kent County failing its students? One local leader gives the community a C- when it comes to student success, but as WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, a network of 200 partners is working toward improving the cradle-to-career pipeline.
Typically, we invite over 200 different partners.
Salvador Lopez is president and CEO of K-Connect, a collection of Kent County organizations dedicated to creating systemic change.
This is where some decisions get made. This is where the network gets updated on a lot of the good work happening in our community across our network.
This year's Accountability Partners Council is focusing on early childhood development.
We'll also be talking about third grade reading and the proficiency and the importance of that, and eighth grade math proficiency as well, and the importance of ensuring that all children have the tools that they need to be proficient in math, one of the biggest indicators for college and career access.
When it comes to ensuring students are successful from cradle to career, Lopez would give Kent County a C-.
We have a lot of amazing people moving into Kent County. They are bringing degrees with them and their careers. However, we need to focus on the pipeline of children that are growing up here in order to make sure that we have a strong future ahead of us.
K-Connect's efforts have led to a 35% increase in Black educators and a 30% increase in Latin educators during a time when many DEI initiatives are being scaled back or abandoned under federal pressure. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Starting next year, 11th graders in Michigan will no longer face the essay portion of the Michigan Merit Exam, and SAT scores will no longer have to be part of high school transcripts. That's under bills signed on Thursday by Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Most Michigan colleges and universities don't require SAT scores as part of the application process, and applicants from many other states don't provide them. Ryan Fuens-Bliss of the Michigan College Access Network says there's a reason for that.
I think the data shows that this is not the best test to measure a student's ability to be successful in college.
Fuens-Bliss says the new law will erase a potential disadvantage for Michigan students who are competing with out-of-state applicants seeking a slot at a Michigan college or university. I'm Rick Pluta.
Two legal organizations in Michigan claim immigrant detainees in northern Michigan are being denied adequate medical care. The Immigrant Rights Center and the ACLU of Michigan sent a letter to ICE's Detroit field office. During a virtual press conference, the mother of one detainee said her son didn't get the mental health treatment he needed. The mother was identified only by her first name, Haiti. She spoke through an interpreter.
Les suplico que miren a mi hijo con humanidad.
I beg that you see my son with humanity, that you see that behind this case is a young man who is completely destroyed emotionally.
The company that operates the North Lake Processing Facility denied the allegations. ICE has not responded to a request for comment. The 61st Annual International Congress on Medieval Studies kicked off at Western Michigan University on Thursday. The event draws scholars and vendors from across the world. Tom Prinz is the founder of the Scholar's Choice. It specializes in higher-level academic books covering a wide range of medieval topics. He says this is his 50th year attending the event. He adds, it's changed a lot since the 1970s.
We don't have very many monks and nuns anymore. Early on, there were quite a few of them. Early on, there were a larger percentage of people knew multiple languages.
Other vendors are selling replicas of medieval manuscripts and art. The Congress runs through Saturday. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The new horror movie Obsession opens this week with horrific romance at its center. In the Grey, starring Henry Cavill and Jake Gyllenhaal, brings the action-adventure with a touch of humor, and the award-winning drama Is God Is explores family trauma and revenge. Breaking it all down for our weekly movie talk is WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C.
We have a new horror film opening, Obsession. It's directed by Curry Barker. And Zach, is horror like the most prolific genre out there for cinema these days? It seems like every week there's a horror film.
I mean, it's the cheapest to make, and it's the ones that usually rack in, you know, most the box office dollars.
All right.
So it's an easy turnaround.
I mean, this is not the first time I've asked that question.
No.
So we've got Obsession. What are you hearing about this? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I am very excited to go sit and watch this one. Curry Barker did a film called Milk and Cereal, which after it was sort of like a found footage horror film, and after making it, just decided to release it just straight up for free on YouTube. And
well, I was going to say, he's one of those YouTube guys.
That's sort of how, yeah, he like released his first film. So this is not his directorial debut, even though it's his first feature like in theaters.
I saw a social media post that said these days the new young horror filmmakers aren't coming out of film school, they're coming out of YouTube.
They are, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks too with Backrooms. But yeah, Obsession, it's 95% certified fresh and Rotten Tomatoes. It essentially follows this kid named Bear who has you know, a bunch of friends in his life, but there's this one girl, her name's Nikki, and he likes Nikki, but he can never really seem to sort of like hit it off with her or even get into a space where he fully admits sort of his feelings for her. And he goes to buy her some flowers to then eventually, like, you know, maybe bring it up, and while buying that, finds and buys this thing called a One Wish Willow, which is sort of like this piece of willow tree in his little box. And, you know, they say, I think the thing is in order, right? If you, the three things you shouldn't wish for with a genie is more wishes to bring someone back from the dead and for someone to fall in love with you. And he wishes that Nikki loves him more than anyone else in the world, and breaks the One Wish Willow, and instantly she is in love with him, and to a certain extent obsessed with him. And then that's sort of where the whole film is just going to start to unravel. It's just going to spiral, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be like just, I think, bonkers and out of your mind, just like what is going on. But it's going to be a fun ride, and that's what I'm excited for. So don't wish for someone to fall in love with you, and I think you'll be okay.
We also have In the Gray, an action adventure film that's directed by Guy Ritchie with Henry Cavill, Jake Gyllenhaal, Rosamund Pike, and Isa Gonzalez. So what are you hearing about the return here to the big screen from Guy Ritchie?
Yeah, I love Guy Ritchie. I love his films. There's so many good ones out there.
Well, and his first film, Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrels, was just groundbreaking.
Yep. And then even what he did with like the Sherlock Holmes franchise, and then more recently, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And so this is very much in the same vein of all of that. So you've got, yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal, Henry Cavill, Bronco, and Sid, who they are sort of like the covert operation team that they sort of operate between sort of the moral and the immoral. You could say also in the gray, if you will. But essentially, there's this tyrant who steals a ton of money, billions of dollars, and they're going to be the gang that goes and basically steals it back. And so, I mean, it's one of those things of like the quirkiness of Guy Ritchie, the snappy cuts, the fun shot angles. And just even sort of like the banter back and forth between, you know, Sid and Bronco, Henry Cavill and Jake Gyllenhaal's character. Like, that's the fun part about this film, right? Like, you're going to go in and you're going to have just a fun time because you know what to expect with Guy Ritchie. So, it's very like, and I think maybe I only feel this way because of Henry Cavill, but like feels very like Man from U.N.C.L.E. styles, you know, also just another film that's very similar to all this. But it's going to be good.
And then we have Is God Is, and this is listed as a revenge film. When I first saw Is God Is, I thought, is this a faith-based drama? But it's not.
It is not. Alicia Harris, who is the director of this film, it's her directorial debut, but she also wrote the play Is God Is way back, and it won an award in 2016. So it was originally a play, you know, performed on Broadway for a couple years. I think it was in 2019 or 2018. So she wrote it, and now she's directing it as a feature film. But yes, it follows essentially these two sisters who were caught in a house fire with their mother. And so they both have scarring, but sort of like in different spaces. Like one of them has, you know, almost like full scarring on their face, where the other one has it like almost all over their arms. And their mother is sort of like bedridden now because of the damage and, you know, the scarring from the fires. And they're sort of like, they receive this sort of note from her and are asked to sort of come and meet her. And she basically gives them this quest to go and confront their father and essentially kill their father. You know, he is sort of the character that is a little bit of the mysterious character throughout the film until you get maybe towards the end and you finally get to meet him. But he is the person, as far as we know, who, you know, set the house on fire. There's maybe a little bit of trauma related to that for all three of them. And so it sort of, yeah, becomes this like road trip of revenge. But I think, you know, it does sort of turn into the conversation around forgiveness and or revenge type of thing, and kind of, you know, learning all of the factors and before making a decision on where you want to be. But the cast looks great. This is, you know, Sterling Brown plays the dad in here, Carla Young, Vivica Fox, and then Janelle Monáe is in this as well. She sort of plays like his the father's like new partner in life. So yeah, there's a lot of like, you know, different pieces and aspects of this that I think make a good film. It's 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Again, it had the Broadway run, and so having that sort of play background, I think, elevates this.
And also, we're continuing here with May Mental Health Month, and you've got a Mental Health Monday movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is playing all week. It's, again, $6 every other day, except for Monday. On Mental Health Monday, it's a free ticket. So you can go see Ferris Bueller's Day Off for free. It's one of those things of, like, I feel like this is one of those perfect mental health. We kind of were talking about it in the office of, like, you know, no better movie to sort of just take a day off with than Ferris Bueller. So, yeah, go enjoy.
And then next week we'll talk about the new Star Wars movie.
I'm very excited.
All right, Zach.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for joining us.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, May 15, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.